Blog Talk Radio.
And that song was dedicated to the love of my life, Ava, and was also played for my special guest tonight, Jordy the Artist, the one and only Jordy the Artist, because I know that he loves MJ. Jordy, are you here?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
You sound like you're sitting right next to me.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to have you here. And as you just said, you're driving, which is wonderful. Because the two of us are basically airheads, because I don't have a clue what I'm going to talk about. You don't have a clue what you're going to talk about. But we know that we're going to have a great night together. Last time we talked like this was about, I guess, a year and a half ago on the other show that I did. And it was a very inspirational time for me, because I really feel that when we connect on the level that we do, and though it's only been a couple of times, it's really, really a good connection. Because I think we both come from the same head space and heart space. So I want you to kind of start with what you'd like to discuss tonight. In just a minute, what I want to just open up to tonight, what came to me just before I started the show, was Corinthians 13, which always like kind of slaps me in the face, especially in relationships, because, you know, people want to always go back to love is kind.
Uh-huh.
And for me,
it's You like it a little rough sometimes, huh?
That's not it. It's like really, it's not about, you know, it's what I've come to realize is the Bible is about, it's a self-discovery book. It's not about others. It's about me, you know. And that's
right.
My, so Corinthians is all about how I love me. You know, and if I'm kind to me, my world's going to see that, you know. So I thought maybe later we can go through all that. But anyway, this show, Jordan, I don't know if you know or not, is about the rebirthing or birthing the sacred union, which to me really is about God realization. And it's trying to bring parts of myself that might be a little disoriented or maybe still sound asleep in love nature and think that they have to find another in order to be whole, you know. So anyway, that's what,
okay,
a little bit, what's going on. And maybe you want to kind of just kind of start and just kind of talk about what you want to talk about right now.
Yeah. Well, just to go back to my joke I just made, actually, you know, the best lessons in life are not exactly the easiest ones to learn. And in fact, when you think about life, it does kind of jerk you around this way and that way when you're learning, you know, the hard knocks of life, the school of life. It is a little rough. You know what I mean? And that really is where the best lessons are learned, but it's not that you get beat up. It's that, you know, A, it makes you stronger, and B, you submit to it because you realize you're humble. You know, you realize that you are not able to take on everything, and if you do, you're going to get beat up. But there's a beauty in that because it's in submitting to the eternal life that we are a slave to, you know, that owns us, that we actually learn what love actually is. You know what I mean? I mean, because that's the reality of it. It's the reality of it. You know what I mean?
Yep, without a doubt.
And I had a thought. By the, you were saying you had some thoughts before you came on. I had some thoughts too. My thoughts were about children and about Jesus and children and how we can love our significant others and others best as children, and how we can best love ourselves as children. And I'm looking around as I'm driving, and I'm seeing people riding bicycles. You know, they're different ages. But they're like children, you know. They might fall down no matter what age they are. If they're too young or if they're too old, they're going to fall down if they're just not paying attention. And you look at everybody, even daredevils and athletes, and, you know, they're all trying real hard, like little three-year-olds, running with football, getting all that money, but they're like little kids. And, you know, if they're too hard on themselves, if they expect more than you would expect from a three-year-old child, they're going to feel bad, you know, because they're just as innocent and just as helpless. Go ahead.
Well, you know, what came to me earlier today, and I shared it on one of my Facebook pages, you know, I got like a bunch of them, and somebody wrote today, you know, why do people have so many, you know, Facebook pages? And I said, well, because I've lived a lot of lives, so I have different names, you know. And the truth of the matter is each level of life was really another lesson learned for me, which I talked about last show. But anyway, so today I wrote, I can't find it right now, but basically what I said is that I started to realize today especially that I need really do nothing but just allow the giver of all to bestow upon me the gifts of the kingdom. And what I mean by that is that the plot that it has, the universal mind, God, whatever you want to call it, has for me is way beyond anything I can comprehend. And I've always been the kind of being that really kind of just allowed my life to take place. But there was a time there when I thought that I had to direct my life. I had to do something. And today I really, you know, came to realize that that relationship, that job, that money, that house, that, you know, physical condition is done. All I have to do is stop bucking it and stop trying to make things happen, which is basically what you're talking about, riding the bike, you know. And it may feel like it's taking long. It may feel like there's effort. It may feel like he's not giving me enough attention. She's not giving me what I want. But the only thing that's happening is the perfected state of your life experience. And that's all that's going on. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was that a laugh or were you saying something there?
Giggling. Go, you can do it. Go ahead, go on.
Yeah, actually, you kind of left me with the right words. I was actually just agreeing with you. I mean, I look at it like this. We're a filter, you know. need to let as much filter through us as possible. That's what enriches us. And it's not bad to have things of riches around you, or it's not necessary either. It's not like this or that has any bearing. You know, people want to be like, oh, no, you're being successful. Oh, no, you're accumulating stuff. If you have too much stuff, you realize quickly that's a ball and chain. If you don't have enough stuff, your body wants to whine and become a distraction to you, and it wants to get, you know, some type of physical attention. But the reality is, if you let everything flow through you, you're basically going to be just fine. You're going to have more than you need of everything, and you'll learn the most. Because if you try to hold on to too much, whether it's physical stuff or information or whatever, if you try to hold on to like a certain amount of information and say, well, this is the way that it is, then those things block your filter, and you can't filter anything else through you, whether it's information or love or, you know, spiritual enrichment and nourishment. If you try to hold on to anything, it's going to clog you up, and it's going to make your hands full, literally, metaphorically, spiritually. It's about, you said, about letting it go, letting it flow, you know what I mean? And just try to be as able to receive and give as possible.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better, because, and that's why I feel like, you know, you being like my first guest is like, it's just like so appropriate, because I have never met anyone in my life experience that mirrors for me a better representative of what I am as far as allowing the creator to bring forth through me whatever it wants. I mean, every kind of art form, every kind of relationship, every kind of abundance, every kind of sorrow, it doesn't matter. And what I love about you is that when you start, you realize that it's not you, and you get excited about the fact that it's coming through, and you're like, oh my God. And I see that in you, and it's the same thing with me, because I don't have any now. Why is this coming through? But it is. And you know that it's not about you. That's when you say you are humbled by it. You know that it's coming through you, not from you, if that makes any sense.
You know what happened today? I had a couple of doves, which their little souls had manifested almost immediately on this surface that I was transforming in this foyer I've been working on for a few weeks in my mural painting, because, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And these little life forms were up there, and they were hanging out, but, you know, they were just in like the most ambiguous state, and I knew that, but that was okay. They still felt very loving, and I felt good about them. And then the time came today to go ahead and try and, you know, give them a real presence and identity within the realm of that particular space. And so there was this great picture we found. It was these little doves, and one little dove was nestling and nooking up against the other little dove. And it reminded me of, you know, how it is when I'm in my best loving moments, you know, when you just get that little nestle going on. And while I was painting these little sweet lovebirds, the best thing happened. I like to put hearts into my skies. I like to always try and hide one in there. Not too much of a hide, but, you know, just a little something special up there. And sure enough, I hadn't even thought about it, but the heart that always ends up in my sky somewhere ended up right behind the doves. And, you know, it's partially obscured, but it's there clear as day, sure enough. And I just thought, well, wow, isn't that magical, you know, to see that little heart materialize right there. And, of course, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it, but we're really talking about God's love, the eternal love we have for ourselves as children and as parents, both within the same host body, you know?
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, that is absolutely beautiful. And it brings me right back to the song that I played tonight, because it came to me last night. I YouTubed it, and it the perfect one showed up, and it was all about me, and again, the man that I believe is the one reflection of my soul and my for lifetimes, and it was so perfect, and I started crying, because I know that the spiritual path is so alone, and especially for me, I mean, I am really alone. I mean, I don't do television, I don't do anything, I don't do friendships that are lasting. I mean, not that good or bad, I just know that it's all about me being a clear channel for God. And I feel such a deep love for the world. And it's almost like I want to take my arms and stretch them out and have embrace the entire planet, because I feel so much love. And the thought of anyone sitting alone in desperation because of fear, because of doubt, because of sickness, because of feeling not worthy, I mean, it just collapses me in the ego, you know? And when you just shared that, the dove, because doves to me, I mean, birds are just my trip. I love birds. And I, you know, I was in Disney this weekend with my son and my grandson's birthday, and it, the doves are showing up all over the place. The magical gifts that I'm given, because I know that I am just a child of the Most High, that I am the receiver. The receiver.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Almost not at all.
All right. When did you stop?
Well, I hear you a little bit. You're getting louder.
Okay, so I put the volume up a little bit. All right. Did you hear about the doves and the birds and all that?
I heard, yes. Yep, yes, I did.
So when you said that you found the little, the heart behind the doves, I mean, that to me, that was the embracing, the heart embracing the universe, you know? And so thank you for that, because it really triggered for me the feeling tone that I am, that I try to live, you know. Anyway, but for you, can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you, yeah. You're getting a little bit of that Max Headroom thing going on, but just a little bit, just enough to be entertaining for me.
All right, so what I wanted to say is for you, I've had the strongest feeling. You know, when I started that Sacred Union in the beginning, that group, I had invited you as one of the initial people, because I really felt that the spirit that is, the God that is, wants, the creator wants you to start writing, you know. And you know, so I try to encourage you a couple of times, you know, little chats. But the reality is I really feel, because you express yourself so eloquently, and it's so not about ego. So, I mean, again, I want to encourage that in you. What I want to try to do on this show is to bring people that are maybe lost, that may be fear-based, that might not be okay about themselves as far as, you know, knowing that they can bring forth whatever if they just be, you know. So I want to help people do that on this show. And so I was hoping there'd be some callers that would maybe call in with some kind of an issue or a love story or whatever, and let me see if there's any. Right now there is just me and you on the line. So a lot of, it seems that a lot of people that have been listening after the show, and I mean, and really a lot of people. So it's
amazing. Social media is amazing. We've got such access to so many things, so everybody procrastinates and says they'll do it later just because it's so convenient.
But with this show, they've been doing it later. But, you know, I really want to do the hands-on. But anyway, so it's about creation and about, I know you get political sometimes, and I notice it. You know, again, we don't communicate much, but I certainly look at your page at times, and I know you get political. Where does that come from? Where does that political kind of resistance come from in you?
Well, isn't that, oh, gosh, you're asking a loaded question there. Well, I mean, there's really just, it's very simple, really. I feel that the forefathers, I mean, we've already had people, the founding fathers in particular, but people, you know, since then, that have fought very hard and died for us to be able to have the freedom of being ourselves. And it's not so much it's amazing, right? I'm an American, so I'm going to say, oh, I have this freedom. And I'm just going to say it like it's just something I know, because it's what we were growing up with. You know, it's what the Constitution's about. It's the only reason why I can say that I know what living, quote, free is. And, of course, you and I realize that the freedom is in itself even an illusion. I mean, think of that, the idea that we feel free with. We've already got dozens and dozens of laws and restrictions that we already have to live with. Driving down the road, stopping at red lights, you know,
right.
Needing money in order to survive. all those things. We've already got, but we still think we're free because we can say whatever we want. I get very, very discouraged when people start to go away from that, because you look at any situation where people have, you know, given up their guns, for instance, any country, and you realize right away that that's where massive amounts of people are executed for having, for being outspoken. It's what we've seen time and time again. You know, we saw it with the Nazis and the Jews. As far as I know, China still is going on like this today. I mean, you know, nothing against China in general, except for the fact that, you know, apparently in the 30s or around that time period, we had millions of people were executed for political dissidents. I mean, when you give up your guns, you give up your right of freedom of speech. It's just that simple. That's what you do, because what are you going to do when somebody with a gun tells you you can't say something that's outspoken against the way things are going? And if they have a gun and you don't, what are you going to do? You think you're going to throw a rock at them and get them to respect your freedom of speech? Of course not. You're going to shut up because they've got a gun and you don't. That's what's going to happen. And it's just amazing to me that people don't assume that that's what would happen, when that's what always has happened for thousands of years with every culture that we know of. It's always happened that way.
But you
so
know,
that's essentially it.
But that's the only part of you that I, you know, like for me, you know, all I care about is love, you know, and I am mm-hmm. so privy to, I have a friend, Daniel, who's an artist, who's another brilliant artist, who really didn't get it. Now he got it. Now, you know, I try to inspire him, and he's doing really great with his art, and photography and everything. And he's been teaching me, you know, every time I get an opportunity to chat with him about conspiracy theories. This guy is brilliant. He knows everything about history. And one day, maybe about a month ago, I finally said, you know what? This guy really gave me the key to the kingdom, because he showed me polarity. He showed me what people have been trying to say. There are evil. There is evil. There is darkness. Ananda, what are you talking about? And, you know, fellow Sagittarian, you know, all we care about is, you know, higher thought and, you know, creation. But I got it. And I said, thank you. I mean, I got it. I saw polarity. And I was so clear that it was just for that purpose. And then I met a guy who was a son of someone who got killed in a conspiracy concept. I was sitting at my son's restaurant, and everybody talks to me and tells me their stories. And he told me his story. And I mean, and I looked on the internet, like, oh, my God. You know, and so it was coming to life, this conspiracy concept that this guy was telling me about. And then, you know, every YouTube I got was about conspiracy, and David Icke and this one. And all of a sudden, I just got like, where are you going? You know that you need to change you to see a changed world. If you let fear in you at all, you absolutely allow yourself to be completely indoctrinated with cancer, via viruses. And it stopped. I had to stop it. I had to close the door on that concept called fear-based thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my dad just says to me, you know what, I just heard that somebody got robbed. You better get. I said, Daddy, I told you, I do not live in your world. I'm so sorry. But my God is about love. It's about oneness. It's about unity. It's not about the opposite. You know, we talked about this last time, about the concept of, you know, Satan, get thee behind me. Since I'm a little girl, I don't even know what people are talking about when they say devil. The devil is a mindset just like everything else. And if you focus on any level at all, either you resist it or you accept it, it's still a god. Let it go, you know. And that's
you want to know the problem? The problem is that when fellow humans such as us live a life that some might consider to be somewhat enlightened, which, you know, in itself is neither here nor there. I mean, there's different stages of that even, and different points in your day where you will or will not be in that state. I mean, you really, unless you're living on the mountainside in the luxurious fabrics with nothing but a waterfall behind you, there's going to be distractions, you know, which would be nice. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to do that. But it's like, you know, like you said, there's a polarity. Total opposite ends of the spectrum, the yin and the yang. if we didn't realize what the alternative to being how we are is, we wouldn't even have a comparison, and that would actually be true oneness. It would be a pleasant numbness. It would be a complete indifference. It would not be having an emotion one way or the other. You know, we would have no emotion. We wouldn't, because absolute peace would be completely emotionless. It would be as pure as a piece of white paper, you know, in the brightest light you can have. There would be nothing, you know. And it would be very easy for us to say, well, who cares about whether we live 80 years or 100 years or 150 years? I mean, I personally would like to enjoy as long of a life in the physical form as possible, because why not? It's a gift from God. I don't want to disrespect the gift that God gave me, which is my physical life. It's a gift. I don't want to disrespect that by saying I don't care how long I live. Because I do, because I care for God. God gave me this to enjoy for the duration. And in my mind, if someone comes along who could possibly interrupt that flow, that's robbing the dozens or hundreds or thousands of other human life forms that I'm here to try and help along the way from experiencing what it is that I can give to them. And I'm here because God wants me to be here doing what I'm doing for that purpose. So that's the reason why I am particularly sensitive to the idea that the basics of life form, it's nothing about evil, but, you know, it's a simple scenario. Simple, like, for instance, we've got the Korean situation right now, right? North Korea, South Korea. I mean, this guy's making a big fuss. I mean, have you heard him? He's talking left and right, day and night, about the attack, right? You've heard this.
I don't do anything, but I see it on AOL sometimes because I get my mail, but I don't do news or anything.
Well, just to bring you up to speed, the son, the North Korean, I guess, president passed away and his son took over. I believe the previous president only spoke publicly something like twice in his entire career, believe it or not. His son, on the other hand, and his son's a real lab now. His son, you know, it's a very impoverished people. They're living in slums over there. And this guy acting like a real jackass. He's being real loud and outspoken. He's been threatening nuclear attack and chemical attack on select American places and other spots in the world. And he's been doing this. I mean, this is what he's doing. We're not trying to get into a war with him, but that's what he's doing. Apparently, he would like us to think that we're supposed to go to war with him because, you know, it makes him feel like a big man or whatever. I'm very peaceful and loving like you. I think we should go give him a hug. But the thing is, if we try to go give him a hug at this particular time, he might not be so receptive to the hug because, you know, whatever reason. Maybe he just would feel intimidated by the hug. I don't know. But we don't want him to pollute the land with nuclear radiation, you know. So what do? I mean, we don't have much choice but to prepare ourselves in case he decides he actually wants to be dumb, you know, and start a war. I mean, it's illogical. But the thing is, if that happens, we've got a lot of trucks right now that are driving up and down the highways with Publix groceries and Winn-Dixie groceries and Cash and Carry and all the others, Sweet Bay, whatever. And a lot of people take that for granted real quickly. And unless people all have a garden in their backyard and plenty of food that's growing, it would take about 1 week for all the food that you can think of that's in your area to simply not be there, and you'd become hungry. Now, if you become hungry, you might not think as rationally because your body is going to be reaching out and, you know, kind of becoming your enemy, like telling you, oh, you need to find food. It's a basic thing. And that doesn't mean we can't get along, but if your body is doing that, there's a lot of people that have had no thoughts like we have in our minds about love, unfortunately, because they haven't heard from us yet. They haven't experienced our lives yet. They need to experience that. If we could give them each a picture to meditate on, I have no doubt that nobody would attack anybody. Why not? You know, I think that would be great. One item of beauty that they could just lose themselves in. I've always thought that would be a nice way to handle things. Give someone a pretty picture or a flower, you know, a hug, whatever, right? Unfortunately, we probably can't do that. And what happens in those scenarios is that there's roving gangs of people who become as relentless as a wild pack of dogs. They rape women. They go after, you know, anybody they can, the elderly, children, because they're looking for just whatever they can get to eat. I mean, this is what might happen. And it's nothing about fear. It's a basic common sense scenario. And the only thing that having a, you know, having your right to bear arms means that you don't have to worry that you're going to be standing there with a broomstick against a pack of 10 to 20 people who haven't got any food, who think that maybe you do, and that's all that's on their brain because they've become so starved because the food has simply stopped coming down the pipeline. I mean, it's just a scenario like that. It's just that scenario, you know? Go ahead.
I just love what you're doing because this is the web that I tell everybody that they weave as soon as they allow themselves to go in that foreign territory. Because it always comes back to, and again, whether Jesus is a metaphor, whether he was a man, whether he is a God, but what would he have done? What would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do?
What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus obviously would be willing to sacrifice himself. And sacrificing yourself is fine. Being a martyr is fine. And Jesus had one thing that a lot of us don't have, which is he didn't have children, you know, little helpless children that we know of that he was trying to defend or a wife.
Some books say he did children.
Well,
yes.
If he did, that would be interesting. I haven't read those stories.
Yeah,
but
the point is, what would Jesus teach you to do?
Like I said, it's out of love. It's out of love that we demand respect, because people need to respect us, and that is so that we can love them. If we are to love someone, we need to have their respect.
Oh, I agree.
It's just very difficult. You agree with that one?
I agree 100%, but I think that respect starts with self-love, and that means that you do not put your mind and heart in a condition that can harm it. And again, I'm very abstract, Jordy. I think you know that. I don't come from outside in. I believe I am it. I believe God is I am. I'm just a vessel for God. But then so is the man in North Korea. And what the awareness that I had today was so beautiful, because it showed me that it didn't matter what the conditions look like, whether it's my fulfillment realized or whether it's a bloody nose or whether it's an accident. It doesn't matter. It's an experience that God says, right here and now, it's part of the puzzle. Don't judge it. Don't judge it. It's not good or bad. Let it be. Because ultimately, and my sons are amazing gurus. I mean, they keep telling me these things when I lose sight that, oh, there's interference patterns. I'm getting upset because this one's... And they say, Ma, don't you understand that wherever you were was instrumental to bring you into the now, to meet that one, to see this one, to have that body condition. It doesn't matter. In truth, we are all aspects of God dreaming. We're dreaming that we could be separate from the Father himself, the Mother, Father, universal God, and we don't have to play in that mess. We can just be the best we can be, love the best we can be in our part of the world, and see the ripple effect. And as you probably know, I mean, I worked in the AIDS arena. I saw people that had the worst communicable diseases known to man because of, you know, the second degrees of HIV and whatever AIDS-related diseases. And these people in my presence, because I was totally in love, healed. They were not the same. So my little world became a different place because of me and the ones around me that saw that, wow, this love stuff does work. And I see that especially on my Facebook, because I've got literally probably 50, 60,000 connections, and the ripple effect because of my groups and everything. People are talking the same talk as I am. So there are, and I mean, my dream right now is to have a community of people that are going to live together in a community type thing and extend it outward. You know, I want to live as a family of man, as brethren.
My dream is to have the same thing and to be able to protect people like you who also feel that love is the priority, because I feel that love is the priority, but people who don't sound like they would be willing to necessarily rise to an occasion with an equal force if the situation arose. Is that inaccurate to say that? Like, for instance, I'm curious, how would you handle a situation where there was a let's say, a mob of a couple of hundred people that were moving through an area.
I can only give you my own personal experiences with that kind of stuff. And I want to tell you a bit more of that because I think that's part of the sacred union that I really feel I'm moving toward in every moment. And I remember being in such a high vibration for about 4 or 5 years. I was completely blissed out where I could not judge. I was in bliss. And I would walk in scenarios. One time I walked to help my son's girlfriend who needed help cleaning the house. It was in the evening, and there was a girl who was white and her big boyfriend who was black, and they were having this war, slapping each other in the parking lot. And I walked over and said, "Please, we need peace." And there was another little girl standing there saying, "Please stop." And they were punching. That's getting really messy. And I was saying, "Please, we need peace." And I mean, they actually went to the car and got a rifle. And I stood in front of it. And 2 minutes later, the cops came, and they were crying and like hugging each other. And it was just like, and that's the kind of stuff that would happen with me. But when
you actually stood in front of the weapon?
Yeah. Do you know that
wow.
when you, and in front of tuberculosis and in front of, anyone who knows me on that level knows what, I'm not just talking this. I mean, I would teach classes and then people would be sobbing when I finished teaching because all I was seeing was colors and they were seeing whatever. They were seeing miraculous manifestation of love. So I'm saying that for me to hear you say that you want to protect that is to me the most sacred thing because I believe in the receptive and the male and female principle. I believe the male is the protector. My son just said that to me the other day and I shared it on the show, which I think was absolutely divine. This is my younger son who just got married, a year married. And he said, "The relationship that you had with my father, I saw what your problem was. I saw why you left him." He said, he never protected you. You never felt like you were protected by my father. And my job now is to take care of my woman, to make sure she's provided for, protected, and loved as the male. And for me, that was like my whole life is worthwhile because he got the lesson. He got the lesson so well that my lineage now is changed because of me standing up for my rights, which is what you've been saying. I have a right to be self-respected and not be in a situation where I'm not respected. But now, because I feel so self-realized, I can't point at another. I can't say, he did that to me. I now have to be my own protector, which means I have to humble myself in front of God. And I have trouble with God now because I'm not sure about that word. But humble myself in front of universal love, let's say, and let it take care of me. And that means no full cycles. It's 5 weeks. I have taken my glasses off. I am re-educating myself because the universal self, the giver of all, God said, take them off. That's a full cycle. If you believe in me, I will give you the true vision. I will give it to you. And I tell you, Jordan, I am seeing like never before. And, so that's how I live my life. And I see that you have that. Like three-quarters of you is so there. I'm not judging. I'm just observing because I believe my world is teaching me about me. So you represent a part of the whole that is so clearly listening to God because
You know why? Because I hear that there's a quarter of existence that seems to be insane. It seems to be nuts. That seems to say illogical things, that thinks that they should give up their ability to choose. Like for instance this, here's one for you. I'm fully in support of women being able to choose if they want to kill their babies or not. Because
right.
that's their choice, right? But it's their choice. Now, do I think that means that it's okay? Not at all. I 100% think it's absolutely murder. But I think that it's up for a woman. I mean, I've heard things recently about the later stage abortions. I mean, do you know that babies are actually born sometimes like halfway in the abortion process and they actually have to finish killing them on the table?
I mean, that's how that works. And I mean, it's amazing because it's absolutely murder. I mean, it's no longer in the woman. It's on a table. It's still alive. It's still saying, there, please help me, don't kill me. Oops, sorry, we're going to kill you just because you weren't born yet. I mean, and here's the thing. This is the thing. People won't talk about it honestly. They won't honestly talk about how they are as animals, living as animals, you know, living as like ignorant animals, not in control of their lives, and having that selfish side where they want to just do things in that moment in a selfish way. And, you know, if they didn't behave so ignorantly and just want to talk about what they're doing so ignorantly, I wouldn't feel that there was any danger of the other people around me that aren't necessarily aware of being, you know, like I said, their lives cut short by those types of goings-on and thoughts. But it's those other people who react in the quick way, who they are living in fear, like you're trying not to be and like I'm trying not to be. I mean, I'm all for you. You know, it's not fear for myself. I don't have a fear. I know that as an artist and as what I do, I'm going to be welcomed into any home in the world, literally. I mean, I have no doubt, and I'm sure you don't either as far as what you do. We could go to any place in the world, any house in the world. People would love us to be there, any place in the world. They would love to see what we can do and talk to us. And that's the beauty of God, and that's the beauty of love. And that's what you're talking about. But unfortunately, not everyone is on that same page.
And that's, you know, I get that a lot, even from those that are closest to me that mirror for me the truth I am. And they'll say, but you don't understand my mother, but you don't understand my neighbor. I do understand. That's why I got to be even clearer. And this is what I shared today because I found it. I said, I have come to realize that the giver of all has designed a perfect reality for me. Again, not only for me, for everyone. Until this present moment, I have tried to make things happen mostly. Today I know I truly need you nothing because I am simply the recipient. Nothing more, nothing less. My life has been blessed mostly. I always have a sense of some higher authority being here for me. Always did since I'm a little girl. Today more than ever, I am letting go all, letting everything be as it is. I know my worth cannot be established by what I think I am, what you think I am, or what my world thinks I am. Like a child, I sit, I dance, I play, I love. That is all. And that's how I've lived my life for X amount of years since I'm born. I did not know that I wasn't a Broadway singer. I did not know I could not write poetry. I did not know I could dance. I could do theater. I can do art. I can do photography. I can make love. I can be the most beautiful woman. I did not know all of this, and it came to me so naturally. My whole life has been so rich, and those in my presence feel it, but they can most people can't sustain it because they don't understand those aspects of me. Like you said, what's going on? This is a real world. You know, you get cut, you bleed. You know what? You got to work for what you want. I never had to work for what I want. I never had to go. I mean, 18 years I haven't been to a doctor.
If you're asking me, can everyone be like us? Absolutely, absolutely. And is it worth taking the time to tell everyone? Absolutely. And is that all we can all hope for? Absolutely. There's absolutely nothing incorrect about what you're saying.
That's my job. So my job is to be as clear as I can, not to point my finger at anyone, even the little baby in North Korea that needs a lot of freaking love. Let's love him until he can't take it anymore. Let's give him so many kisses that he just falls in love. In a blink of an eye, we can transfer.
Oh, that's great. I think that's, you know, something that's a wonderful way of thinking about it. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can actually look at it. But, yeah, in general, he needs some attention. One way or the other, he needs some attention, doesn't he? He needs something. Maybe we should shake the rattle for him, you know. Maybe we should flash some colors in front of his face for him and give him a fireworks show. You know, he needs some attention. He needs something.
I have in front of me, I just found this, my son bought me this sticker years ago, create the world you want to see. Do you know, my older son today or yesterday sent a friggin' Facebook, I say friggin' because I get like, I have to be my old self, but it says, if I change, I change not because of anything, just because I woke up or something like that. my son is saying he's a sage. I saw him last night. It's like my boys really got it, you know. So that means I really got it because our children are our best teachers, and we're here to awaken love in reawaken because we are love. You know, we are love itself. And the more that we focus on the distractors and the interference patterns, the more life we breathe into them. So my plot in my script is I am an Ananda of love. And you know what I do? I love. I have no other purpose. My boyfriend might say, you're a freaking liar. You got a big mouth. Or my father may say, you're not always so nice. But you know what? My intent is I have no negative ideas, no private agenda, and I don't want to hurt anyone. I just want to love them. Okay, so go ahead.
How many kids do you have again?
I have two boys, and I call my grandson, my first grandson, my third son, because he was my baby for like 4.5 years of his life, the first 4.5 years. So I have two boys.
How was it growing up in your house when you had time to discipline the kids? What did you have to do to do that, or did you have to?
My boys, my little one, because I was very young, my first one, he got a little bit, I got a little rough. I was very hard on him the first few years. But my second child never got reprimanded, never got hit. He was an angel. My boys never had the terrible twos. They never had temper tantrums. I didn't watch the sugar. Nothing but give them full attention. I love being mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I adored
did you have any differences in how they, now that they're grown, have you seen any differences in their behaviors based on the one that received the harsher discipline versus the other?
The harsher one is the older one, and he is just like me. I mean, he works so hard on self-realization. He's hard on his boys, but he loves kids so much, but he loves them in a humane way because my house was everybody came and got loved. And if any kid was being abused, he'd live with me. He couldn't go back home, you know. So, I mean, I was always like that. And he is just like me. So, I mean, like I said, my boys are my best teachers. They're showing me. And people tell me, you son opened that restaurant. My God, it's amazing. You're such a beautiful son. Congratulations. And I really feel it. Not because of what he's doing as a job. But this is a humane. He's the guy that loves to feed people, you know. Not only food, but love and caring. And they're just two awesome men. Oh, God, are they awesome men. And they show me how well I've done in my life, you know. So that's the only really gift that I get. I mean, personal gift of accomplishment. Because all the other stuff, like you said, it's just chains. You know, like the jewelry that you have and the jewelry that I have. We both have a lot of jewelry. What does it do? I mean, it's beautiful, but it weighs you down. I got to take it off before I start.
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right about that. I actually can't. I've tried and tried again to wear various, you know, gold necklaces or whatever. And, you know, something that I cannot help but feel that it is a constricting, confining, like literally an oppressive feeling. Too much material wealth of any type, it feels like oppression to me, you know. And I always wonder how can people go through life wearing so much all the time. I have days where I don't even want to wear hardly a shirt. You know, I try to wear as little as possible, and it feels absolutely necessary. You know, I like to try and change everything I can about my entire self as much as possible, so that I don't get too numbed into one way of thinking. You know. I think it's very important to constantly be a different person and a different point of view and to see things completely differently. I also noticed, and this is a big one, that a verbal spanking, if you can give somebody a verbal spanking, I think that, you know, getting physical, it actually does go against you in some ways. It doesn't mean it's not necessary in extreme circumstances. Unfortunately, if people force you to it, in my opinion, but in general, a great way to get respect is a louder tone of voice with more clarity and more direct force than whomever or whatever you're speaking to, whether it's a dog or some other kind of a pet or a child, or in some cases other adults, usually a sharp tone of voice with assertion of truth, right? The truth. If you're in a crowded restaurant and somebody's causing a ruckus and you have to be the one to stand up and yell at them and reprimand them in front of everyone to scold them so they feel ashamed of their selfishness, then you need to do that, and everybody else in that restaurant is going to applaud you, and that's about as far as it's probably going to go. It's doubtful that that person's going to stand up and now they're going to pull out a gun. You know what I mean? And that's what we should all aim for. I mean, you do have to get respect. You do, but a verbal spanking shows that you have control, you know? Whereas if you actually have to, you know, resort to your physical force, you've probably settled, and you've probably, you know, just pretty much given up every other option, you know?
Let me give you an example of me before you go on. I've been, you know, I teach A Course in Miracles for a lot of years, and seminars, whatever I do, I've been doing for a lot of years, and so, you know, I stop because I'm very far out. I mean, I get to a point that people say, come on, you can't live like that. Anyway, so I'll go to a class and they'll start talking about what you're talking about. And I'll say that, you know, it's all about love. You only see what you feel about yourself. They're just your teachers. They're just showing you what's hidden within you. Maybe it's a little fear, a little anger. You know, you're never angry for what you think you're angry. It's always something that's hidden. And they'll say, oh, come on, come on. And then they'll start being a fight in the class or whatever. And then I'll just sit there giggling. And then somebody will say, but she won't put herself in that situation. For the most part, you can't be where you're not. If you see something happening, it's the mirror of something in your life that you choose not to look at. And again, this is just my beliefs, accept it or not. I mean, you know my mirror theory because I've talked to you about that. But I'm telling you, most people don't want to see themselves in the mirror. They want to see whatever else is around it. But when you look in the mirror and really look at yourself, that's when you have self-respect, because you want to walk in love, in clarity, in truth, in honesty, in respect. You want to live the golden rule. But most people want to look in the mirror and look in the closet in the mirror. They want to look at who's standing beside them. They don't want to see their own body. They don't want to see their own issues. And so when you really live like I live, now I do have these little issues going on with certain people in my life, like my father. He's my best teacher because he brings up anything that's hidden, you know. But it lasts for such a short time because I know he's a gift for me. He's showing me what I can't see. So when I get, you know, they talk about the shadow self, it really is. And when you get that and you start realizing that when you walk in any scenario, it's there for you. It's, you know, the restaurant that we ate in, it was Bell's Castle, the big, beautiful castle restaurant in Disney. And it's the roses on the picture of our show tonight. And it was Be Our Guest. And basically, you know, everybody is saying, you know, you're my guest. We're here to feed you what you need. You know, and if you really get it that way, you take full responsibility for everything you see, Joy, not only the good stuff, but even the shitty stuff, and you start realizing, I can change that. Me and my lover, the man that, you know, Abba, when we're together and we're in really the good high vibration, magic happens everywhere we go. When we were in New York, we drove, he had lived there for a while before I came to visit. And he was there every night, you know, or at least once a week. You know, he was in Manhattan. When we went, I swear to you, it was from 7 to maybe 9 downtown Manhattan. There was not one taxi honking. There was no noise. It was absolute peace. I was back home in New York. I hadn't been there for like 18 years. And it was magical because when two come together in love, in truth, the true state of love, peace is there. There's God. And you'll know that with that person, or you'll know that with that paintbrush. When you're painting, you are gone. There could be a bomb in the next house. You wouldn't hear it, Jordan, because you're in love with that moment. I'm in my right?
Mm-hmm. But yes, I am. But there's also the, you know, there's also, See, I truly embrace the full spectrum of existence, from the Big Bang, from the explosion of the stars, from the incredible fires that fuel the sun, to the lava that spews out of the earth, to the winds that, you know, wreak havoc through hurricanes on forests and whatnot. I just feel like that is also part of it. That's a shame. I feel like, you know, you say there's 25% of me that you feel refuses to step out of the shadow, I guess is maybe what you might call it, because you're pretty much dancing completely in the light. And there's part of me that likes to remember that the darkness is part of life, because it truly is. I mean, without the dark, you don't have the light. You, like I said, you have numbness.
And I
like to experience the full flavor.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's my
And also, one more point I would bring up, not to interrupt you, but I want to just get this out because I'm going to forget. You see in me a reflection of you. Therefore, and you even said it yourself, I'm your first guest, right? You like that. That's because I reflect you. The things that I say, you see a reflection of yourself in that. So just keep that in mind.
Without a doubt, you're my teacher, and I appreciate that. So thank you for noticing that. Now, we have about 4 minutes left, and I want you to talk about what you do before we go.
Well, I'm just getting ready to expand my travels to California once or twice a year. The best way to get in touch with me still continues to more or less be on Facebook. I mean, what a great social media networking system it is. And for me, with the visual arts, it is the easiest way for me to communicate. It's Jorde the Artist, J-O-R-D-E, the Artist, T-H-E-A-R-T-I-S-T. I create transformations in living spaces and office spaces, and I also fabricate with an associate of mine various, you know, artistic elements that can be installed into spaces. I like to transform a space. I like to take your world that's around you, and just like you, give a true reflection of you, you know, your life, where you're going, where you've been, what you do, just how you want to feel. If there's a little part of you that wants to feel a certain way, I can blow that thing up larger than life. It essentially makes you into a little, you know, baby infant again, a little a fetus even. I mean, it's like I create a womb for you. When you go home, you have a room, or you have rooms, or your home itself, you nestle yourself into that space, and I can actually, basically, I mean, I believe I take your soul, my soul, God, I blend it all together, and I direct it like a laser beam right into the air and the space around us, and I try to manifest the most free creation I possibly can to just let it come out of me, you know, based on my artistic skill, but also based on every single factor that everyone brings to me while I'm doing the creation, and trying to never hold it to be a certain thing, and allowing it to end at whatever point it ends at and be what it is. It's essentially murals, you know, that's the name for it, but it's much more than that, because I've had people that break down into tears around me, and, you know, they'll say that they feel a stronger presence of God in their lives while I'm there with them. And I pray with people. I try to always, like you do, you know, I try to, what was that?
2 minutes left, so play it out. Do whatever else you want to say.
Oh, well, I mean, that's essentially, the long and short of it is I try to use my life as a way to help people to realize that not only are they closer to God, they actually are God. God is them. They are one. We all are one. We're all part of the same life force. And that's a fact. That's the truth. And there is no size relation. There is no time. You know, we don't have 12 hours in the day and all that. We just have the movement of the stars, the constant movement, the constant life, one moment, time is not relevant. It's all one thing, and I just try and reinforce that and allow people to celebrate the beauty of life with me, and that's what I do. And I'm looking forward to going to California a couple times a year. I think it'll give me more of an opportunity to create even larger, more elaborate, you know, pieces for people to appreciate from an artistic point of view.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for being a part of my life, being a part of the show. Start writing, okay? And I love you, and I love you, my listeners, and peace and joy. And let's send that guy in North Korea so many hugs and kisses that he won't know what to do with them, okay?
That's a good idea. Let's do that.
All right. Good night, Jorde. Thank you, baby. Have a wonderful, wonderful ride wherever you're heading, okay?
Good night, Ananda.
Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.